Okay, we've just left the house on a secret mission to get famous. We're walking along Melrose Place, heading to meet Howard Bragman, who is Mr. PR for the whole of Hollywood.
Mr. PR of PR.
He's the PR of PRs.
He does the PR for the PRs.
Yeah, exactly. With big, famous clients like crazy Paula Abdul.
Yeah. BTW, we met Crazy Paula Abdul's Crazy Paula Abdul hairstylist, and he almost killed me. For some reason.
How?
Well, he wanted to kill me.
Did he? Why?
I don't know.
He would have killed you if he'd have sat on you. Did you see the size of his butt? What was his name?
We're doing an illegal crossing of the street.
We're right jaywalking now. For the sake of fame. Run! Anyway, Howard thinks we're going to meet with him to talk about his book.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't know, and he might not find out, is that really, we're going to meet with him.
So he's
going to fall in love with us.
Yeah.
And be our PR pro bono.
Yeah.
So.
It's a master plan evil web. We're
going to like, yeah, your book. It's all good and about your book and everything. That's great. Now, Howard, how can we get famous?
Yeah.
How can we get more famous?
Yeah. Like, really? Ridiculously famous.
Oh, what? So
it's
lovely.
Hot.
It is roasting. What am I wearing? I should have had my shorts on. Maybe Howard would have fallen in love with my legs.
Oh, yeah. They're a bit hairy, though.
That's the way he likes them.
Yeah, I can tell. You're probably right about that, actually.
Anyway, we're actually set for being late, which is not very professional and very unlike us.
Not really unlike us, but
Gabe's facelift was taking time to heal this morning.
I couldn't glue my wig on. The glue wouldn't set. I didn't have enough time.
Do we know what the time is?
Mm-mm.
Check it.
It is.
Check it. Gabe broke his BlackBerry.
11:23. We have to be there in 7 minutes.
This is just going to eat into our interview time, actually. We've got a 30-minute window.
Well, I don't want to show up sweating. We can't run. Luckily, his office is just down the street from where we live.
Yes.
From the Potterment.
Not far, it's just a few blocks.
Why are those bugs flying exactly in little, like...
Because they're that's what bugs do.
Ew, it's gross.
They're formation bugs.
What's this school? Rosewood. I'm hungry.
You didn't eat anything.
I'm gonna faint.
Can I tell you what I did this morning whilst you were sleeping?
What?
Got up, had a proper breakfast, had a coffee, installed all the printer software onto my computer, printed out our questions onto professional pieces of paper.
If we were filming this, you would see that I'm looking away and not really listening to what he's saying at all.
Got all the stuff together, got my bag ready.
That's good, because I really needed
made sure I was beautiful, so at least one of us was. And
I really needed the rest. Thanks for doing all that while I was asleep. I really appreciate it.
Such a... If you could see his face right now, you could see the C-U-N-T. Listen, everybody. Gabe is a mass of contradictions.
Listen, whenever the finger starts pointing at me, just remember it's really pointing in a mirror.
Basically, yesterday, we went out shopping because he was desperate that I got the right shoes.
Okay, right. Yeah, I don't want you walking around looking like an idiot. I had to.
We wouldn't want it to that make two of us.
No.
Anyway. So, we're at the shopping mall, and we're trying to get salad or something, and a really bad thing happens. It's like Gabe was made of iron, and someone switched on the electromagnet, and he was sucked towards, what was that counter?
Pollo something.
No, the Pollo steakhouse. Campora. Anyway, what began as a salad snack turned out to be... fries.
A full-on fries with melty cheese sauce, and bacon makes everything better.
And pickles.
No, not pickles. Jalapenos.
Oh, yeah. And those.
And salads with cheesy, melty
goo on
chicken
them.
With mushrooms and all kinds of delicious.
What began as a healthy salad turned into a mush of dressing and goo.
But that really was not my idea, actually. it was his?
No, because he got that look in his eye, just like the same look he gets in his eye when he's in 7-Eleven, when he's going to buy a turkey sandwich and it turns into 5 Hostess cupcakes.
Listen, if we didn't go to Turkey 7-Eleven yesterday, don't ask me why I was going to say turkey, but anyway, we wouldn't have our Barack Obama cups.
We've got Barack Obama coffee cups.
Yes, thank heaven for 7-Eleven.
Tall ones with lids for driving.
Yeah, even though we don't have a car.
Yeah. Although we do actually have a car. We've got a convertible right
now.
We do now, yeah. It's on library loan.
Yeah. It's not very glamorous convertible, though.
No, but it's a convertible with 4 wheels and it goes.
Isn't this it?
Oh, no, it's third.
Oh, God.
I know.
What time is it? We have 2 minutes.
Power walk. Clench and stride. Clench and stride. How many more blocks is it?
It's the next one.
Look, that's the building with the big shiny
there
glass.
It is.
What suite number is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. See?
That's not
exactly.
My job.
What's your job in this?
Show up, look good, be funny.
No. I should have said it to you this morning whilst you were blowing out the Zeds.
You look good at the Taco Bell.
Get up.
Let's make a run for the border.
Dress up and show up.
Get up,
show
up.
Man. 6-lane jaywalk.
Nothing like jaywalking on a 6-lane street in Los Angeles.
Oh, I can't pick up my feet. My new shoes are too rigid.
Let's go to the other side.
Why?
Because there's shade.
Don't make me sweat.
We'll just tell Howard we couldn't find it.
That's no good.
Why?
Because
too much technology these days. You can't get away with that anymore.
We've got 2 GPS BlackBerries, Google Maps, A to Zs, street planners.
Rats. And I live right down the street.
Yeah. We're nearly at Howard's giant, massive skyscraper. What time is it now?
11:30.
Shit. Well, I estimate we're going to be 1 minute late. Yeah. Howard, thank you for joining us on Calling Long Distance.
Oh, Jonathan, I wouldn't have missed it.
Howard, apart from the money, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, a couple things. I've been doing PR for a very long time. And by the way, I want to clear up one misconception. You don't write a book for the money. You don't write your first book for the money in this world anymore.
That's on my plan to do that exactly.
Mine too, because I was going to write memoirs. And
now I've ruined that.
Yeah.
I believe that when you're in PR, you're a teacher. You're always educating the media about your clients. You're educating your clients about the media. You're educating the young people in your office about how PR works. And I took that a step further, and I've gone ahead and taught PR at USC for many years. So people always said, well, PR is too esoteric. You can't teach PR. And I said, yeah, you can. And I had to find a way to teach it when I taught at USC. And there's been a lot of changes in society. And it used to be that having a public image was reserved for athletes and actors and celebrities and TV broadcasters. Well, in this world of Google and Facebook and YouTube and iPhones, we all have some sort of public image. And it's very simple. If you don't manage your public image, that doesn't mean you won't have an image. It just means you won't have the image you want. And so what I wanted to do was something that pretty empowering and go ahead and inspire people, particularly in these tough times, which I didn't plan in the book coming out now, but really inspire people about how to grab hold of their own image and how to do a little personal branding. And the book is not necessarily written for big Hollywood actors, but it's written for somebody who may own a small business, somebody who is a community activist, somebody who's got a special talent, somebody who wants to go to the next level or keep their job or get the next job in a very tough market.
So how does the book work then? I mean, is it like a step-by-step?
It's not a blueprint, but it's a process people can follow. And it's, you sort of start out and you take the pulse of where you're at, and then you start to define what you want to achieve. And then we talk about the tools that are going to get you there in the book. But I don't want people to think it's a boring book, because it's not. I've been in Hollywood for decades, and I have some very fun stories with lots of big-time celebrities they will know about. So somebody said, well, you're really sneaky. You wrote a Hollywood, you wrote a self-help book disguised as a Hollywood tell-all. And I said, yeah, that's what I did.
Someone listening right now who has no desire to be famous, what can they get from the book?
You know, you may not have a desire to be famous, but you still have an image and you still have a reputation. Unless you're a total slug in this world and all you ever desire to be is a slug in the world, then you're probably not buying a book anyway. But if you want to move up in your job, if you own a business or thought about starting a business, if you care about your community and want to clean up a river or do something in community activism, this book is going to help you. It's going to help you understand what's going on out there. And, you know, I always tell people, I can barely keep up with the changes between Facebook and have you Twittered yet today and all these things. And I don't know how the average person does it who doesn't do it for a living and finds the time. So what I've done, I believe Hollywood is sort of the Olympics of image management. And I've taken 30 years of my knowledge and shown the average person how they can use sort of the best of the best in terms of techniques. And whether they want to, again, be the president of the PTA or start a recycling center in their hometown to help them do that.
What's been the worst handled PR fiasco, in your opinion, recently, and how would you have done it differently?
I think Britney Spears, not right now because I think she's cleaned it up, but I think a year ago, Britney Spears was a disaster, okay? But it wasn't so much as a PR disaster as a life disaster, and that's where you have to understand this. There's a big difference between PR and life. If somebody's life is totally screwed up, I can't make it all seem good. I mean, I disagree with everything he stands for politically, but I can't take anything from Karl Rove away in terms of his PR skills. And guess what? They leave the White House and the president has a 20-some percent approval rating. And that's with, you know, one of the better PR people in the country. So, you know, eventually the truth is going to bite you in the butt, no matter how good the PR person is.
So speaking about the president and
getting
PR,
bitten in the butt.
Yeah. What's the quickest thing that Obama could do right now to sort of end the public's love affair with him?
Well, I think he already has alienated part of the gay and lesbian community by having Rick Warren do the invocation at his inauguration. And I don't know if you saw the Golden Globes, but Tina Fey said, you know, if you're ever feeling too good about yourself, they have this thing called the internet. And you can go on the internet, you can find plenty of people who don't like Barack Obama, who don't like the bailout plan, who don't like what he stands for, who don't like the people he picked for his cabinet and are very upset with him. So we have a honeymoon going on, but it's a honeymoon on thin ice. And you know, all these groups that supported him will not hesitate to turn on him if they feel like I supported him and he's not there for me, as the gay and lesbian community did. But let me say this, conversely, I want him to succeed. He has a wonderful, wonderful understanding of PR and how it works and how to handle issues and how to put a team together and how to put professionals together. And I hope this honeymoon goes on because he does a great job, and even people who may not be on his side say, wow, this guy gets it and he's doing an awesome job.
What do you think is the main reason that gay Hollywood is still in the closet?
Well, I don't think gay Hollywood is in the closet. I think we have everything but one thing. And the last great hurdle we have is an A-movie star coming out of the closet. It used to be said that everybody behind the scenes is out of the closet. We have people at CAA and PR people and managers, and you know, we have lots of very high-profile producers and big people. I mean, Dan Jinks and Bruce Cohn, who produced Milk, are out of the closet. Brian Lord and Kevin Huvane at CAA are out of the closet. There's a lot of publicists out of the closet. So, you know, and they used to say a straight actor can play gay, but a gay actor can't play straight. Well, now we have T.R. Knight on Grey's Anatomy, and we have Neil Patrick Harris on How I Met Your Mother, and they're playing straight credibly, and nobody's questioning it. So the last sort of great hurdle is an A actor coming out, and I think it's just a matter of time. It may be Cheyenne Jackson, you know, who's going to hit, who happens to be a client and a friend, who's just is a force of nature. He's a wonderful actor, and his physicality is just beautiful and intimidating. It's so there, and the camera loves him. And it's going to be somebody who just never was in the closet. And guess what? Young people who are really the core movie audience just don't care.
Yeah.
The media will make a big deal out of it, but young people just don't care. And, you know, it's like there's the black kid, there's the British kid, there's the Jewish kid, there's the gay kid. You know, that's just part of their clique.
So, Howard.
Yes, Jonathan.
What about this secret A-list gay club that everybody talks about?
That's what we
Does it exist?
I can't talk about it. It's secret.
You have to bring us there.
We have
like
meetings.
We know that it's like the back entrance somewhere. It's all like black umbrellas.
Yeah.
Limos.
Listen.
Upstairs.
Tom Cruise is there. John Travolta.
Yeah, you should see those meetings. Yeah, you should see the strip poker games. What you have to understand is Hollywood, you know, if you look at like Variety, okay, as a barometer, and their circulation may be 30,000 or 40,000. Hollywood is like a small town, and the people who are making these decisions and the people running the networks and it, we all know each other, and we all know who's gay and who's not gay and whatever. That there's a club? No. That there's communication? Sure, there's communication, but they talk to Republicans too, and they talk to other people. There's a lot of communication that goes on in this town, and you know, if I don't know, there's, you know, I've just ruined it for you. I've told you there's no secret club. Maybe it's so secret they don't want me, okay? Maybe that's the whole
thing. Howard's winking.
Yeah.
Howard is winking as he's saying all of this.
Maybe it's because you're already out, so that you're not.
I am so far out of the closet, it's true. And maybe because I'm, you know, I'm so married and established.
So what if two young, hot, hilarious guys came into your office and wanted to get really famous? What would you suggest?
I would suggest you buy the book.
Maybe they don't have any money.
I'll give you a free copy of the book. What are you offering?
Into that.
What are you offering, boys? I mean,
we're good at washing windows.
Know, I think what you have to understand is that fame doesn't happen overnight. People build to fame. That these actors and celebrities that are overnight sensations may have been working many, many years before they got to do it. And number two is, fame is not the end point. Recognition is the goal, okay? Fame is a byproduct of recognition. What I mean is, recognition is, wow, they're great hosts. They do great things in the media. They really get it. They're funny. They're good looking. They're cute. They're hung beyond belief. You know, these kind of things that what you get defined for. And then fame is sort of the byproduct of that. And there's a lot of people who say, I want to be famous. And I'd say, no, I know a lot of poor, unhappy, famous people. You want to be recognized and you want to be successful. And that's the most important thing. And realize that it comes one step at a time. You want a career made in a crock pot, not a microwave. And honestly, if you buy Where's My 15 Minutes, it's going to help you. It's going to help you define those goals and define yourselves. Because if you don't know how you want to be defined and what you want to be recognized for, you're not going to get there.
Howard, thank you very much.
Wow, that was painless. You can put your clothes back on. The interview's over.
I was getting cold in here.
You don't look cold.
Howard, thank you for joining us on Calling Long Distance.
Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Thanks, boys. We'll be right back.